it's a little stock.
Basol, take one.
It's a big old fat motherfucker called
Blazing Buzzard Buttocks.
Big Rigger Inspection Spatial.
Under my feet.
But look, with the biggest heavy band of all time.
I wouldn't ask you to do a drum roll if your arm fell off.
There was an incident with the pyrotechnics.
And Kirk!
Squillions of dollars and squillions of people.
How the fuck are you, Lars?
Piddly wants and wills and needs.
Lars Ulrich, drums and bongs.
What the fuck does that mean anyway?
I hate that fucking camera, man.
Well, since we started...
I'm talking about like a fucking live gig. You see this for, right?
What really gets my dick hard...
Mommy...
Howdy, hi, friends and neighbors. Jason Newsted here, listening to And Podcast for All. Bitches!
Welcome back to Podcast for All. I'm Shane Obershaw.
And I'm Jeff Winslow.
And one of the two flies have joined us on this monumental historical night from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Drum roll. Mr. Uncle Larry.
What's up?
Mr. Uncle Larry.
Mr. Uncle
What's up,
Larry?
Mr. Levine?
We're going to start calling you Mr. Uncle.
Mr. Uncle.
You know, riding that high from the 72 seasons. 77 minutes to 72 seasons.
Are you high from the record or high from what you've ingested in the last 77 minutes?
Yeah, both. I mean, it's all strategically planned out, but...
Okay. How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, man. I'm feeling pretty stoked.
I literally just walked in the door from the theater, so this is as fresh as it gets on a podcast for all.
Same. Yeah, it was... It was an interesting night, to say the least, in a very good way.
So a successful night.
Yeah, I give it two thumbs up. So. And
wow.
That might come
Siskel
as a
Ebert,
shock.
Jeff and Larry.
Might come to a shock to some people, especially considering the awesome rating I gave Screaming Suicide when it first came out. But yeah, no, I liked what I saw and almost everything I saw. We'll get to that.
So could we go a layer deeper than thumbs up, thumbs down? Would you say exceeded or did not exceed your expectations? Or met?
I would say for me it exceeded, because obviously, like a lot of fans do, when a new record comes out, you compare it to the previous one. And off of first impression, of course, like many others, I'm already giving it a higher rating than I would Hardwired. So for me, you know, I call that a success.
I'd agree with that. I think it surpassed my expectations. I was pleasantly surprised by a number of things.
I think it speaks volumes that it surpassed expectations, considering the lack of dynamics, which over the course of, you know, multiple episodes, upcoming episodes, I'm sure we'll dive in deeper with that. But I think everybody can agree that, you know, there's moments that you like on the record, and whether you loved it, you hated it, it does need more dynamics. There wasn't enough. At some point, it's okay to take the foot off the gas pedal. That's kind of my whole takeaway from the record. And it's like, I get it. They're making a statement. They're 59, 60 years old. It's probably not even trying to prove, but maybe just subconsciously like, hey, we still got it type of thing. You know what I mean? Which they definitely do, but there's something missing. I mean, the fact that this is the first Metallica record in history with a no clean guitar. I mean, Saint Anger had clean guitar.
Yeah.
Think about that. No clean guitar. And you can't say what that little doodle interlude in the middle of the last song. That's not clean guitar. That was semi-dirty, volume rolled back. Shane, you're a little quiet. What are your thoughts?
Oh boy. Let me choose my words carefully here.
Oh.
This one's going to take some time.
Yeah, you think it's one of those records that it's, you know, go through, listen to it a few times, really kind of dig deep into it?
I've bullshitted a little bit on the show, but it's been all in, you know, good fun.
Right.
I'm not going to bullshit anything tonight. I felt weird leaving the theater, like nothing really blew me away.
Yeah, feeling not overly impressed?
I'm really not. Are there great songs? Yes. Are there parts that excite me? Yes. Are there parts where I'm like, that was badass, that was killer? Yes. But there was a lot of... there's a lot of, like, I don't know about this one.
I get what you're saying, because I actually feel the same way, but to me that's still a big thumbs up, because I didn't go into it expecting to be blown away based upon the first few singles that were released. Did I like them? Yes. Do I think there's good moments? Again, like you were saying, yes. But two out of the four songs really caught my attention. The other two, they're like, meh. You know what I mean? So I didn't go into it with the bars. I don't want to say I had the bar set low by any means, but I didn't go into it thinking like, all right, I'm gonna hear this record and I'm gonna be blown away. Because we've already been reading the reviews leading up to it. There's been countless reviews that have said a lot of the same things, you know, lack of dynamics and but very, you know, lyrically, like, obviously very deep, very meaningful, and there's some crushing parts in it, but, you know, so I didn't know what to expect. I think leaving it the theater, enjoying it as much as I did, for me, like, I'll take that as a W.
I think the other weird part is, it's hard to explain this too, when you're watching, I really didn't want to watch the videos. I wanted to hear it first. And there were some really weird moments where I'm like, I'm so focused on the visuals that I'm not listening to the solos. So I get what you meant, Jeff, where you're like, oh, fuck, a video for every song?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was cool we got the experience tonight, but there was moments where I'm like, these videos don't fit what we're doing here.
With what we're doing. And I do agree with you to a certain extent on that. But at the same time, I found myself, as I'm sitting there watching and listening to these songs for the first time, thinking, I think I like the fact that they did this, because having the experience, having the visualization, it's loud, there's people in there having a good time. I think it played into enjoying it as much as I did, and not, I feel like I honestly felt that had I listened to this record by myself for the first time, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much as I did, because of, I think that whole experience gave a very good first impression.
Okay.
If that makes sense. For me, at least.
I felt it definitely built some cohort, like camaraderie with the theater. And I felt like it was a good anticipation building exercise.
Right.
I sort of am in between. I feel like what you guys are saying, I agree with some things. What I like the visualization of it. There were parts where I, like you, Shane, was almost like looking at this off screen or taking my glasses off because I was getting distracted and tuning out, especially in the Space Invader, Pixel, you know, MS Paint, DOS Doom video game with the...
Oh, you mean Chasing Light?
Yeah.
That really... that ruined it for me, because... And that's where I agree with Shane. Yeah, it's like, well, see, I kind of like the whole, like, weird, Tenacious D-ish post-apocalypto goofiness, but after, I mean,
not after 8 minutes.
That's what I was going to say. That's fine for an acoustic rock song that's 2.5 minutes long, but for a song that's, you know, it got a little drawn out. It was a little much, but yeah, so for situations like that, I definitely agree, because it's, you don't know what the hell you're looking at, and you don't know what the hell it has to do with the song that you're listening to. And so your mind is going one way, your ears are trying to listen to this thing, and it gets a little bit dicey in those moments.
I also feel like it would have been better if we would have got like a little bit of the upfront making of the narrative, the dialogue, and then just did the videos and had them more seamlessly bleed into. Even if it was like video, them getting their portraits taken as like a cutaway and then transition to the next video, because I thought like the talking heads felt forced at times. The guys felt unprepared, uncomfortable, not relaxed. James, it's a very visceral, deep place for him. You know, Kirk is confused as always, right? Like
James and Kirk almost made me feel uncomfortable at times when watching. Oh, hey, there he is.
Someone's
good evening.
Someone put on the nightlight. Someone
the
put
Bob
on the
signal. The Batman is here.
Dude, there's the ultimate line at the Tower of Terror. It's a full crowd scene.
Of course.
Did you fly home on your giant slice of pizza? Like a magic carpet?
Absolutely. I'm surfing.
The like Bob Aladdin signal is and Jasmine.
Would you go to some fancy Universal Studios fucking theater, dude?
No, dude. Disney Springs. AMC.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nice Memory Remain shirt. So fitting to what we heard tonight.
Indeed.
Well, Bob, just to get you caught up on where we're at here, Larry and I have basically given our first impressions as, you know, moderately good. Shane's kind of middle ground. He's a little iffy now. I think we might need to help convince our friend here.
He's getting on board.
Intervention, horsefly intervention.
Send the fly traps
up. Do we all agree that it's better than Hardwired?
That's what I agreed that it was
better
than Hardwired.
Four flies so far.
No.
Shane does not agree.
No.
I'm just.
Really?
You have to.
A lack of dynamics really does play a big role in it, Bob. The fact that there's no balance, there's no clean.
Just.
Do you need a hug this week?
I need a lot of hugs, but just hear me out here. You release a song like Lux Aeterna.
Mm-hmm.
I know why they picked the singles that they did. I'm going to put it that way. I agree with the singles that they picked. Now I'm glad they picked four singles. But you cannot say the four of us left four different movie theaters tonight totally over the world pumped for this thing. Now, when I put myself in fan shoes of actually meeting Metallica later this year, you cannot bow down to them and say, oh my God, dude, this is a fucking badass record. It's a solid rock record, in my opinion.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm being brutally honest, and I'm not being sarcastic for once on this show. It's a solid rock record. It is not an amazing record.
And like I was saying, it surpassed what I was expecting from it. And the fact that, you know, it surpassed what I was anticipating it to be makes it, for me, a big thumbs up. But I, you know, much like Shane, I don't feel like I left the theater going, you know, wow, that was the greatest thing they've ever done. I didn't feel overly impressed, but I didn't feel let down, if that makes sense.
I did not drive home going, I can't wait until my music's delivered at midnight. I didn't even think about midnight tonight, because I'm just
there's a few songs on the record that I am very keen to go back and listen to. And man,
there's 7 or 8 songs that are solid.
And I still don't think I don't think Darkness and Suicide are better than some of the songs they didn't release. I think there was they could have picked better songs than those two from hearing that.
Yeah.
Sleepwalk.
I just burn.
Yeah, burn. Yeah,
Shadows. Burn. Easy.
So Too Far Gone, even, I feel like, would have been.
Too Far Gone's a good fucking song. It and it's really funny. Is. We made fun of it so much. Too Far Gone is a great song. And when it started, I was sitting there going, Too Far Gone? And then I'm like, wait a minute. That sounds like the No Remorse riff.
Top three.
Oh, totally. One thing that I will say that I was glad with Too Far Gone, or was it Too Far Gone? Which was the one that everybody was saying was very punky in the reviews?
I thought that was it?
Shadows.
It was Shadows, because they even said it beforehand. Like, think Ramonesy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was glad that whatever it was wasn't the other new song just reworked. You know, how we got, quote-unquote, Temptation from, or, you know, put into If Darkness Had a Son. Right. So I was glad that there was something, that it wasn't something that's, you know, almost 20 years old.
Rob said the Temptation reminded him of Cheech and Chong.
He's like, I could see them going, hey, Temptation. Yes. I was like, yes.
That was classic.
He couldn't have slunk more down in that chair, and Lars couldn't have been more like taut almost on
your face.
On his heels.
Well, it cracked me up because Rob's phone is sitting next to him. I'm like, come on, Rob, you're doing a fucking interview. Put your phone away. It's sitting there on like the chair. It's just like, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And then like, I don't know, those interviews I liked it, but there were some weird moments, I feel.
Even Lon Chaney was kind of, he had a better vibe than the other guys.
And after all these months, I've said, you must burn exclamation point. Lars talks about the exclamation.
Says it.
It's like all he said about that song. It has an exclamation point.
My buddy.
Someone in the theater goes, he's such an asshole.
My buddy starts cracking up when James goes, you know, it's just got a lot of hat. He starts going like this.
Yeah, I like that. My theater was fucking weird. So much weird shit happened in those 2 hours. I don't even know where to begin. 72 kicks in and some guy next to me is like, fucking turn it up. And I thought it was pretty decent volume. He left and went and complained, and it actually did come back and get turned up. And then he left after the fourth song and never came back.
Oh, well.
I'm like,
he got too drunk and he got thrown out.
I don't think he was drunk. I don't think he was happy.
Ours wasn't.
Damn.
It wasn't quiet, but it could have been a little bit louder. But I mean, it sounded clear. So, and that's all that really mattered to us. Yeah. Everybody was clapping afterwards, and then people would, you know, like, they'd laugh obviously during the interviews, because this, again, there were some there were some interesting moments. You know, I was telling Larry before we signed on doing this, like, it felt like Rob and Lars were having a good time, and almost like they had a good time making this record.
They did.
Where it seems like Kirk and James maybe didn't so much. I don't know, Kirk. He felt very awkward in the interviews, in some of them, and I felt like, and obviously James he's been going through. Everybody knows, you know, the things, but it seemed, I don't know, it didn't seem like he was like fully there. Like, I don't know, there was something off. I felt.
When I wake up in the morning,
I felt like Rob and Lars. It was like, yep, this is cool. But then the other two, it felt a little awkward to me.
When I wake up in the morning, there's nothing on my mind, and that's when I usually play guitar, and the riff just came to me when I woke up. 72 seasons, the riff was just there when I woke up, and my brain was just so free, and I wrote that riff. That's when I usually play guitar.
It's like, Kirk, do you look at the camera? They're over here. You're like, you're all over here. He's just all over the place.
I did take a lot of notes tonight. I will admit that. Don't take this as I wasn't having a good time, and I'm glad the day is finally here. But I think the buildup, since what did we hear, Lux? Late November?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
The buildup was like, this is, in my mind personally, I'm like, this is going to be a home run. I feel like we just hit about a triple.
Again, I love the record.
Is that from, is,
but I don't want them to put out another record. I want this to be the last one.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that coming from being a musician yourself, though? Like, that you're overanalyzing or things are hitting you differently? Because me,
I'm sure.
A good time.
It is, Bob, but there was Jeff already said this record does not have dynamic to it. Mm-hmm. I felt like I just listened to a complete solid sounding AC/DC record.
Well, and it's like I was saying earlier, like, it's okay to take your foot off the gas. Like, I feel like this record,
that's fine.
And it doesn't mean the record's bad by any means. Like, this is no shade at the record, but I do think that at some point it's like, all right, let's, you know, it doesn't need to be, and even in certain songs, it's just very riff heavy. And again, and I kept telling myself, and I was telling my buddy too, I said, you know what, in these moments, I tell myself, remember, they're a thrash metal band. To get what we've already gotten out of them, to get as many ballads and even almost sing-along tunes that we've gotten, should be happy enough with that. Because again, they're a thrash metal band. So
this is not a heavy metal album we got today.
It's not a rock record. I wouldn't go that far. Hard rock.
I just got an iTunes notification.
There it is.
It has arrived at 12:03.
I was actually surprised by James's vocals. There's a lot of, we didn't hear so much of the stereotypical kind of Hetfield vocals. Like, he was really going into,
I felt like they're very Lotus-esque.
Yeah, Lotus-ish, but I felt like too he was coming out of his comfort zone, and I appreciated that. And I thought, you know, granted, only hearing it in the theater, where I couldn't really hear the vocals that well because, like I said, the first six songs, the volume was kind of low. But I liked what I heard. I liked the vocal melodies that I heard.
He wanted Fuel Part 2, Chasing Light.
Chasing Light, for me right now, just on one listen, Chasing Light and most of Inamorata, kind of mid-tier for me.
So
I think I need Inamorata, to sit with Inamorata a little bit longer.
I think Inamorata was their attempt at trying to do like Fixer Part 2. Not literally Fixer Part 2, but like their, you know what I mean? And all I'm going to say is they better play that song once on this.
Fuck yeah.
On this run. Like, don't make it so that 5-10 years from now, at the very end, you try and play it and you can't accomplish it because you waited too long. I don't think it was
the first song over 10 minutes. 10 minutes, huh?
I don't think it was the song that I think we all were hoping it was going to be. But there was some nasty riffs in the whole record. Yeah. But like, just some of the riffs in Inamorata, just how it has that weird like dissonant harmonies that they do, I'm like, ooh, I'm like, that just it almost sounds gross. I'm like, I like that.
That middle part was very Orion. I loved it.
So, Bob, I
gotta
say,
album has so much Sabbath influence.
Oh yeah, I feel like in Motorhead and all new wave, but we were actually talking about this a bit before you joined, Bob. But I completely agree with you about Hetfield's vocals, like the risk he took in sort of going higher and going almost to like the Hit the Lights demo, you know, areas of almost being Robert Plant like at times. I think the unique melody lines, the lyrics, I think are a deeper Hetfield than we even got on Nothing. Like, he's bearing his soul, and maybe that's why he's so fucking uncomfortable, is because he's so lyrically deep. And I think that's why it felt like for 77 minutes, like it went quickly. But I think one of the things that the reviewers got right is it's a hard listen. It's probably, once we get it in our headphones, a depressing fucking album on the heels of coming out of the pandemic where they're all in these fragmented states and Hetfield's coming out of rehab and self-reflective, and it's dark, right? It's a dark record.
I'm just checking out my new tunes. Don't mind me.
It definitely is, and unfortunately, I think that's where maybe I can see some of what Shane was saying with that, you know, the record is you've got lyrics that are so, you know, and it's almost like some of the music doesn't match.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I think, again, we want to hear more of like a, you know, on some of these lyrics that are so deep, we want to hear something maybe like Until It Sleeps, you know, one song like that, a ballad, something just to break it up, just to make it feel like, all right, that's that formula still works. You know what I mean?
So I think I have a question that maybe scratches at this itch. Oh,
wait, somebody has their hand up.
Yep, the boss man.
I have to interject. Mix, mastering, amazing.
Oh, the guitar tone is disgusting.
The
Skywalker sound.
The tones, the vocals, the balance. I'm going to say
it's a little kick heavy.
Well, that's why I like it so much. Come on. Rob's bass is...
Oh, dude.
Is in... Rob's bass is out front of the mix more than any other record.
And that's the way every record should have been.
even Cliff's spirit is like, goddamn.
Yeah. Like, just, you know, as we got into like track 7, 8, 9, I kind of focused on kind of those kind of, you know, production details. I'm like, overall, it fucking very, very well produced.
For a record that, and they obviously, since probably after, I mean, Load and Reload was probably the last time they really went in with doing, you know, yes, crazy amounts of like different things to create sounds, you know. I mean, for a record that, if you think about it, it's guitars, drums, bass, and vocals. There's no tracks, there's no, you know, nothing in the background. They don't, it's really, really full for what it is. Like, it's like,
because
wow,
it's a simple rock record. Load, Reload, come on.
So you don't think they brought their best? There are moments that it truly is Metallica at their best, or they at least tried to put their best foot forward with this record.
This album was heavily made over Zoom calls, and it shows.
I feel like you're going to eat your words in 2 weeks once you get this in the headphones and car test.
I have the next week of a ton of alone time, and it's going to be on repeat probably 18 hours a day.
I hope it changes.
I'm kind of surprised how this is going. I thought it would be the other way around. I thought I'd be the one with the really critical review. Yeah. And
right,
and it's a good rock record. It's not what I was expecting. It was made in a weird time. You can tell the songs that are very easy to play from a musician's point were made over Zoom. They got together, they put a little polish on it in person and said, that's a song. How many of these songs sound alike?
That's what I was just about to say.
There's no Atlas. There's no Moth. There's no Halo. There's no Spit.
A lot of the record does sound the same, and that's why
it does.
That's why I leaned over to my buddy. I said, you know what? It's a great record, but I hope this is their last, because now it's at the point where I feel like if they put out another record, there is a good chance it could be and along the lines of this. Because, I mean, it still has a very hardwired kind of feel at times. I feel like it could start to get a bit stale if they keep trying to go in this direction. So, like, to me, this would be a good area to just, you know, let it be, you know.
I'm going to list some songs right here, and you can't tell me that these all are dynamic and have a spot that everyone knows right away. Hardwired, Atlas, Moth, Halo, even Confusion, and Spit. Now, when you run down these list of ones that I'm not a fan of, Shadows, Barbed Wire, and Chasing, you can't tell the difference in those.
I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah, but Shadows has that Batman part that na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
I think Burn, the chorus is killer.
Oh, dude, I liked this song. I'm really excited to the fact
that... How is that track 2?
I guess we'll have to see how that goes live.
Yeah.
Those chokes and those vocals are like, what?
What song was it that I felt like should have been number three, though? It was
Too Far Gone? Too Far Gone was really fucking good.
You Must Burn should have been number three. Yeah. You Must Burn should
burn
be number three.
Burn is the sludge, like, devil dance slot.
That's a great tune.
Dude, that song, I was like, man, only Metallica can play in standard tuning and make it sound heavy.
What did you guys think of the videos that we hadn't seen yet?
Oh, Atari Space Invaders?
Aside from that one.
Well, even the made videos, they, like, cut new graphics and shit into as well. Like, Screaming had, like, those weird fucking orb things and...
Yeah.
72, Crown, I don't remember Crown, them having as much prism shit in that, like, room.
Crown of Barbed Wire was badass. Love that video.
That one was really cool. Yeah, it almost kind of gave me, like, this, like, Prometheus vibe with, like, the hand coming up and all this shit. And I was like...
Yeah. See, Shadows, now that's what
track
I
Track 2 video? Terrible.
I would have expected...
Well, yeah, that visualizer. That
all
was
it was a mountain
goofy.
Bouncing to the fucking beat.
Yeah.
It was like...
It was the Blair Witch Project.
Nintendo 3D World Runner just bouncing, and I'm like, are we going to get any footage here?
Just like J-Rock, the Blair Pimp Project.
You could seriously get rid of Shadows Follow or Fall or whatever the song's called, and I'd be just fine.
I loved Sleepwalk My Life Away. That video
I did too. That was solid.
Was cool as shit.
I like that one.
The silhouettes of them when they were kind of standing there and walking, that was fucking cool.
Like when they're on the moon?
I would have that as a poster of just a band photo of that. That's fucking cool.
Off of first listen, there's 12 songs. I could happily get rid of Screaming Suicide, Chasing Light, and Roma Mirrors off of first listen, and I feel like the album would be a much bigger... Dude, Roma Mirrors wasn't bad,
Roma
but it
Mirrors
just...
Roma Mirrors is, like, in my top four.
I don't think it was bad. Like, I don't think it was a bad song by any means, but that, for me, that's how you give the whole album. Like, that song, good moments at time, but there was nothing about that song where I was like, wow, I'm walking away from this song thinking this was something I want to go back and listen to. It was, you know, it was more of just like, it was a good filler track. Kind of like Chasing Light, where it's not a bad song, but it was a little bit boring at times, at least. From first listen. So again, I think that part of it has to do with both of those music videos being a little obscure and kind of not being able to actually focus on the song itself. So it's definitely going to take a couple of these songs will take a couple listen throughs, but there's I think majority of it, I'd say 90% of this record, it was off of first listen. Damn good.
And these are first listens tonight, but I still think 72 is the best song on the record. Really do.
I really need to go back and listen, but I'm right now my top are going to be Shadows Follow, Sleepwalk, and You Must Burn. Those are my three favorite.
See, mine are...
I'm actually surprised you don't like Shadows Follow. I thought
I
was
am too. I'm shocked.
It was so I really bad. Am. I even texted you. I said, track two, terrible.
I'm like actually genuinely surprised by that one. I thought that was a good song.
The chokes and the vocals are like so first grade, dude. The chokes and the vocal lines, that was totally arranged over Zoom because no thought went into it. I don't know how they got away with that.
What did you think of that one, Bob?
I liked it. Of course you did. my only... points where I was almost checking my watch was Chasing Light because of that video.
The video, yeah.
And it was hot as fuck, and I don't feel very well, so I was like, fuck. And then the beginning of Inamorata, I was kind of like...
Yeah, you have a tummy ache because you listen to Shadows Follow.
I got this build-up for it, and I was waiting, and what was the one... was it Room of Mirrors that had the video that almost looked like...
Atari, where it scrolls down?
Yeah, it was like hand-drawn, like Garden of Earthly Delights.
Yeah.
Little like purple pixel monsters.
Where Lars had a double kick with M's on the heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
I actually didn't mind that video.
It's a good song.
I didn't say it was a bad song. It's not a bad song by any means. It's just to me that was one of the weaker moments, in my opinion, of the record. Not a bad song by any means. Had great moments, but it's just to me, that sounds like a song that was arranged over Zoom. It doesn't, that song doesn't flow.
Yeah, there was no real
kind of bounce to it.
I mean, yeah, a groove.
This was an 8-song record.
My top three were Burn, Gone, and Inamorata. Because I knew that Inamorata was not going to be what we expected it to be, but I just dug sort of like the offbeat and then the chorus aspects of it. I thought lyrically and the misery play was a really strong way to ride off into the sunset.
Do you guys think that there's anything that has topped your favorite of the four singles?
Oh yeah, definitely. The three that for sure.
Okay.
I maybe not top, but I at least on the same level as 72 and Lux. You know, I liked Darkness. Screaming Suicide has definitely come up from the original rating. I enjoy it more than when I first heard it.
I agree.
But still, again, that song isn't going to be that one would definitely be in the bottom of my list for the record so far, but it's moved up a little bit.
I love the Lars and Rob intro in Sleepwalk.
Yeah, that's badass.
What's that?
I love the Lars and Rob intro in Sleepwalk. That just sets the tone for that song, and it was solid.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say, I think we can all agree that the quote-unquote surprise at the end of the whole thing was kind of a blooper because they announced it on the website today before the actual screen. It's like, oh, okay, so...
As soon as I said that, I looked over at my buddy. I said, I bet you that's the Texas show, the Arlington, Texas show. And then sure enough, they say it. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, they announced it earlier. I'm like, that's kind of weird that they did that. But
oh, I love Screaming Suicide. It's the new wave of British heavy metal. NWO BHM. I call it new album. It's the new album. New album. NWA BHM.
New album.
What was the song where Lars is like, it's just got it's the song. Was that Burn?
Yeah, You Must Burn.
Here comes more. That was so Lars.
Stern's favorite, You Must Burn.
My theater cheered during that.
Yeah, everyone started laughing.
Yeah, same.
We had somebody trying to record.
Oh, really?
In my theater, yeah. And security came up and was like, you can't record.
Oh, sorry. It's only going to be on YouTube in 4 hours across the world.
Yeah, I think
it's probably already there. Well, I mean,
it's on my phone now. It's official.
I was going to say, as we're all recording it or recording right now, we can listen to it. That riff right there. Down, down, down.
What song is that?
Inamorata.
That's got bombs.
I like the vocal melodies in that too. It was something that, again, that we hadn't heard from James. It was refreshing to hear that.
Yeah, I think there were some good moments.
They say the empty can rattles the most.
I wish that he didn't try and go necessarily for some of those high notes. I know, Larry, you were saying that you appreciate him stepping out of his comfort zone, which I do agree with to a certain extent, but the way I'm looking at it is from a live aspect. You know,
he's fucked on some of these songs,
and that's the thing, is like, I've always been the type of person that believes that if you can't recreate it live, then you shouldn't put it out on a record.
I hate to say that, but I sort of feel like Lux, and maybe it's going to be different actually in the real, but I feel like it's missing the punch that it has on the record live.
At least because they play it in E flat.
I
mean, that does make a difference. There's a part,
you're right.
There's part of it that the reason why this record is so punchy is it being in standard tuning. Hence the reason why the last three records they've done, they record them in standard tuning, but then obviously play them, because it does. It just gives it that much more oomph.
Yeah.
We got to listen to one song together for a little bit. Okay.
All right.
Do it.
I hope it's Shadows Follow.
Is it I Want to Sex You Up by Color Me Bad?
Nope, it's the frickin' No Remorse Part 2.
No remorse, baby.
That's I'm just picturing him trying to bite the fingers of the crowd and cunning stunts. And I think that's a little bit weird that but I like it.
Too far gone?
That's how you should have said it.
Just listening to that this time around, there's a little bit of an Atlas bounce in there I just picked up on.
Yeah.
I wish that they would have addressed the question mark in that song.
Right.
They forgot about it.
Now, don't walk away from this thinking that Shane hates this record.
No.
It's just my expectation and where I thought this was going based off the singles we heard totally didn't add up to what I thought we'd be talking about.
To what you thought. Exactly. And
there was just moments where I'm like, this is not what I was expecting.
Right.
Now give me a couple weeks and I'll come back and, have to, stroke all three of you off and apologize, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
It's going to be like the Ghost video, the hockey team.
Who do you think is the MVP of this record? If you had to say, there's one fucking breakout star.
James.
Yeah, James's vocals.
Yep.
Same.
It's hard to dive into the vocals when you're a musician listening to, the instruments, but
I feel like this is
what we've already heard in those four singles.
So actually,
it's so fucking personal. I said that way back when Suicide came out. I'm like, he's going places we have not discovered yet. And
that's what I'm saying. It feels like this whole record has been his record. That it seems like every song and not that it never was, it's always been James's lyrics per se, but it really feels like he hijacked this record in a good way.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, he made it his record.
But I think
maybe that's what
honorable mention has to go to the Karate Kid, though, because I think without Rob bailing on the day that never comes, I don't think we would have gotten this record this soon.
Right.
Him not pushing Lars. Which,
good point.
Which song was he apparently supposed to sing on? I missed that.
He Must Burn.
Yeah, it was the chorus piece, right?
Yeah. Which you really don't hear him.
Yeah.
It
was beautiful.
Maybe there's a part of me as a drummer where in 12 songs there's not many drum parts that really stick out to you as, wow, that was killer.
Speaking of the drums, I do gotta address something. Both me and my buddy were saying the same thing. The whole interlude in Immortata, that way too much hi-hat, just it's like, all right, dude, like, you should have.
Too much hat.
You know what's funny about that, Jeff?
There was too much going on there.
I'm saving this for another thing that you are doing next week and can't talk about yet. That hi-hat, it's a distant mic. That's not the hi-hat mic picking that up. Well, that's like a room mic picking up that sizzle.
It doesn't matter what it is. There was a little too much going on there.
But as I sat there, I'm like, that is not the hi-hat mic picking that up. That's a room mic or like a Tom 4 mic picking that up. That's what I kind of dug that.
I felt like how Shane feels with what's the song that they play live now, and it's just all that hi-hat and you don't like it.
Clover?
Yeah, just too much going on there. Like, it's an interlude. A Metallica interlude shouldn't have a bunch of End of the Line has that, but
go listen to that again, you'll be like, yep, I can tell it's a distant mic picking up that hat, because it's a really old scratchy kind of recording,
kind of like my voice.
I just think that that was a good question. I think this is James's record. I think Rob stepped up huge, just not into the mix. Kirk is Kirk. There was probably three or four solos where I'm like, Wow, that was badass.
I was going to say, there was a few where I was like...
I can't even name the songs because it's too fresh in my head. I don't even know what they were, but I'm like, he's ripping there. And the drums is... Lars is really getting into that whatever fits the song best, stay out of the spotlight kind of mood.
Oh, you mean the boo-tap, 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 boo-tap.
Right.
Just hanging back.
He was hanging back, and when you listen,
that's a good thing, time.
Most of this record is a 4/4 time signature with a rock and roll, not metal, 4/4 beat.
Okay, maybe not a metal beat, but the riffing majority of the time is fairly metal.
I'm not talking about the riffing. I'm talking about the drums.
Well, hey, the riffing is part of the
very
music.
AC/DC-esque, yeah, like, or
Phil Rudd.
This was like
it's heavy metal.
Steven Adler, Phil Rudd. It was not. Danny Carey was not on this record.
Well, we're not gonna see the Danny Carey Lars ever again.
You know what
he'll
I mean?
He'll never.
Do you think
he'll
that's
never
him
do the Phil
acting his
that.
Age?
Yes,
I was thinking that as well, Bob. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking a lot about the Zoom call, how this came together, and I'm thinking
he has the hardest job as far as
what he played was easy on his body, and you know, kind of like Hardwired, they wrote a lot of those songs to be played live, and I respect that.
Yeah,
I think any of these songs could be played live tomorrow easily.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much the feel changes on some of these that we like on the record and then in the live setting, because I feel like Atlas took on new life, Hardwired took on new life.
You mean when they speed it up 20 BPM?
Yeah.
Well, see, I agree with Larry on that, because I know personally when I'm trying to learn lyrics to something, and I find once they play it live, I pick it up a little easier and I tend to enjoy it a little more. But that's not always the case, because something like Dream No More, a couple of times they played it live, the recordings that I heard,
yes,
left a little to be desired, you know?
Yeah, it
that's because Cthulhu spelled with a C, Bob.
Same thing with Mankind. On the record, it's good, but live, I was like, no, it doesn't work.
Yeah. It's like Struggle Within. Record, it's good, but live, it's meh.
See, this is something, too, that I was thinking about in comparison to Hardwired. Hardwired, to me, feels like some of the songs are Metallica doing certain things. What's wrong?
Chris Westfall, our singer, just texted me. He goes, well, I just listened to Re-Hardwired.
Wow. It's better than Hardwired, though.
Yeah, so some of the songs on Hardwired, to me, feel like Metallica doing this one particular style on each song. It's like, here's the new wave of British heavy metal song, Atlas Rise. Here's the kind of Lodish song, Now That We're Dead.
Right.
Here's the Sabbath song, Mankind. You know what I mean? Where this record feels, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It's like
how
in
most
my
of the
head.
Songs sound the
it's
same.
Like Frankenstein. It's like they snipped pieces. It's like we have an inch of Load, an inch of Reload, an inch of Death Magnetic,
right.
An inch of Motorhead.
But it all sounds similar enough to where when you put it all together, it almost sounds like it could be one cohesive song from start to finish almost.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what
I mean? But here, the songs feel, to my ears, they felt like what I expected for new Metallica. Like, maybe what I've been expecting to hear from in 1999 when they were talking about, we're going to do a new record. You know, and we were all like, what's it going to sound like? And it's this fresh sound that I haven't heard from Metallica yet. So I was like, all right, cool. I was digging all the stuff that I heard tonight. I thought it was great.
Like Crown of Barbed Wire, huh? Like track 7, it's time to like flip the cassette around, like side B, huh?
I actually thought that video was more of what I pictured for Spit, like nanobots taking over the world.
Yeah.
But so as I was leaving the theater,
somebody said the Matrix.
Yeah, that's perfect. As I was leaving the theater, the thought that I had my head was really like, I'm relieved they did it. They pulled it off. Like, that's
right.
Like, is it perfect? No. Is it? It surpassed my expectation. I didn't know what to expect. It wasn't this, but it's, I feel like, the best album we could have gotten out of them at this point in their career. And that's not a cop out. It's just my honest, like, There are moments of genius in their best work ever, and I think that's good enough. And the fact that they're happy and still playing and functional, and there are moments
the fact
where
that they love the record that they put out.
Yeah. I mean, they might feel awkward about it or whatever, but there are moments where I feel like James and Kirk are full-blown To Live Is to Die harmonizing, like connecting through their their riffing.
All I know is the older Kirk gets, the less I want to hear him shred. And it's like, dude, I just want you to keep playing them Tasty Blues licks, because there were some of the solos that it was like when he didn't try and make it flashy, it was like, fuck, it was much better doing that. And then there was a couple shred moments where I was like, that sounded like old Kirk there. I should have wrote it down, because there was one solo in specific where I look over at my buddy and I'm like, that's the best solo on the record right there. I'm like, that is fucking Kirk Hammett to a T. That's what I've been waiting to hear. And when I go back and I listen to the record, I'll figure out exactly which song it was. But there was one in particular where I was like, dude, that's the solo I feel like I've been waiting for to hear from him as a guitar player.
Hey, you know Kirk means business when he said Too Far Gone is...
It's just an orgy of heavy riffs.
Yeah, the whole theater started laughing.
You guys heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big time.
That was his breakout moment.
I thought it was great.
Oh, Kirky.
Just an orgy of heavy riffs. No remorse.
Or is it because he doesn't have his, Flavor Saver, his little Dirty Sanchez.
Flavors. It's Lon Chaney. He looks like Lon Chaney now.
Yeah, he really does. You're not...
He looks like somebody's grandma.
I have a lot of notes that I took that I'm saving for a thing that Jeff and I are doing next week. One of them I want to share, Inamorata. At the end, that outro builds and builds and builds, and it felt like the outro to, like, I wrote down Outlaw, Fixer, Fade, or Halo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Outlaw.
Because after that bridge, after the weird distant hi-hat that Jeff's talking about, it builds, and then it kind of levels off, and then it builds and levels off, and then it really takes off to, like, that Halo fade, Fixer, Outlaw, where it's, we're kind of going for the finish line kind of cruise.
I hear the Halo in there, too.
I will say this. I definitely think it was a good closing track.
Excellent closing track.
Yeah.
It just had that drive to it where I was like, all right, we're reaching the finish line. I think that was well done.
It's one of those songs where I listened to it and I was like, I could have heard it as an instrumental, and it makes you wonder like what Suicide and Redemption would have sounded like if they would have put lyrics to it.
What did you guys think about the random banter between songs? Like,
I liked it.
I liked it.
Even though I felt like at times it was a bit, like I said, awkward or maybe even uncomfortable, just because it almost seemed like, age is catching up with them, and I felt like I could feel that in some of it, and it wasn't even in a bad way. It's just Metallica has always been one of those bands where they can make a situation uncomfortable in a very kind of good way, you know what I mean? And I enjoyed it. I liked hearing what they had to say. Some of it was funny, some of it was
cheesy.
It was very Metallica. It was real and exactly who they are. And that's kind of what I enjoyed about it. They just did what they do.
Did you hear James compare 72 to Puppets? I'm like, whoa, easy, bud.
Wait, so to clarify, when I meant banter, I meant literally on the songs. Like Rob said, dude or whatever on Lux.
And
like those, there were like...
Lars's count
off.
Yeah,
there were like three or four moments where it was like that. Had some little snippet. I'm concerned that that's going to be disruptive on a really, really, again, heavy, deep, dark record, that we're going to have these like moments.
I don't think that's
going to sloppy editing, basically.
I don't think that's going to be on the...
Oh, you mean like at the end of Suicide when you can hear Fiddleman go, nice.
Yeah. And then
is
there's
that what
one
you meant?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I thought you meant the in-between black
and
white.
Yeah. No, I love the interviews. Yeah. I meant not the talking heads, but some of those little things. That were like bass solo, take one.
Like the Helpless, turn it down now. Yeah.
Do you think you're going to hear that on the record?
fucked up at one point.
Yeah, I think you'll hear it on the record.
Because I think we already have Fiddleman on whatever it is, Lux or Scream, where he says nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
I guess I've never listened to it that close. Now I have to go back and listen to it because I feel like I've never even listened to it that close.
Watch the videos, Jeff.
I just
at the
did.
End of Screaming, you can hear Fiddleman go, oh, nice. You heard those tonight.
No, yeah, I did. I guess I'm listening to the singles. I didn't really, and I guess I never caught it. I'm actually kind of surprised now.
Did you think it was weird when James compared 72 to Puppets? I'm like, whoa, that's a big statement, bud.
That's a bold statement. He was comparing a lot of songs to some.
The downstroking, right?
He said something was like Bells, too, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Is that Sleepwalk?
Well, then,
when
he compared Chasing Light to Fuel, I'm like, okay, you say, give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. You literally just say Chasing Light, and that's it. I'm like, I expected a little bit more from the whole Fuel intro.
It was Crown of Barbed Wire where he says it was like Bells. That's after Lars talked about flipping the tape around to side B.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That song had a really weird chorus. It was different.
Chasing Light was Fuel.
I can see the Bells comparison there where it does have that kind of drive to it.
But, oh, my friend, Temptation, Cheech and Chong. Yeah.
I will say, If Darkness Had a Son went over really, really well in my theater, it was after James says everybody's singing that, the whole theater was singing it.
Really?
It was great. Yeah, it was like everybody finally warmed up, you know, where everybody was kind of, the other singles you heard people somewhat singing along, but not too loud because they don't want to, you know, and the guys next to me finally stopped talking. Nobody was singing?
Nobody. And it was pretty packed too. It was pretty packed in there. I was actually quite surprised. When I looked behind me, I was like, damn, there's actually a lot of people in here.
Mine was too. There's about 40 people in mine. It was a small theater.
Yeah, same here.
I want to go back and count how many times Kirk says something is the best, because I think there were too many. it was like him sleeping with his eyes open. And he's like, this is, I think this is the best guitar solo that Rob's ever done. Rob doesn't do guitar solos.
This is where you cut in the "You're the best around."
Oh, crap.
Yeah, right.
I also cross-legged Kirk when he got like more relaxed.
Oh, he was starting to. He was like, "All right."
But I noticed his leather pants. He's not wearing like his leather pants were very
shiny,
like tapered, no creases taut, or anything.
Very tapered. Yeah,
nothing's gonna let you down.
I was like, at least Lars and Rob were dressed normal.
James is 50%.
I feel about the leather pants on.
All right,
there. It's like, maybe you should have just kept the jeans on.
He was sitting there like that for the ladies, man. Crotch hanging out like that.
He's got a new lady. He's good.
I wonder if that was Robert Downey's shirt that he was wearing, that black jacket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Good call.
What a day.
I think Jose Mangan lent him a shirt, too, or not?
The pants are very...
I was just about to say those were...
Oh, yeah, Metal Ambassador, man. New record out right here, Sirius XM. Yeah, man. Yeah, metal.
I've given 18 bro jobs.
That dude is...
Before the Devil's Dozen.
Jeff does not like him. I know that for a fact.
Not the biggest
There's posers, and then there's him.
He's a nice guy. Like, we were at the bar together at Louder Than Life, and I turned...
That's really funny that you say that, because I've legitimately heard the complete opposite.
Really?
I met him. Wasn't fun.
I've heard that he's a complete fucking douche.
He was the nicest guy to me. It was crazy. He was like, I'm going to give this pin to Robert, and we talked
about weed. That's because you gave him free weed.
I did. Yeah. Believe it or not, I did give him pins. And
so you gave
the,
him presents, okay?
Oh yeah, man, metal pin and bastard. I love pins. Yeah, metal. Yeah, rock and roll pin. Yeah, yeah.
He talked about how he's trying to like pawn his daughter off on Ty for like 20 minutes.
Dime vision. Yeah, dime, like, dime. Yeah, dime. Pantera limo. Yeah, rock on.
I want to see him and Eddie Trunk do a show together and see who can out name drop the other. Right.
I thought you were gonna say you want to see them fight each other a la Celebrity Deathmatch, but in the real.
That would be good too.
Somebody call Dana White and let's get them in the octagon and they can settle this like men. That's although perfect. Eddie's he might be a little bit he might be too old for Jose, but
he's
you know,
a big dude though. That's what I was gonna say. Tall.
Although Trump took Mangan's entrance song, American Badass or whatever. No, Mangan would come in to like walk.
Yeah, I did see Trump walk into that UFC last week with Kid Rock to Sabatru's remix.
I'm watching that, and of course I watched the pay-per-view, and every time they would pan over and you see Dana, Trump, Kid Rock, Tyson. It's like, holy fucking, even the fighters were like.
I would love to hear that conversation.
They were like turning around. One of the fighters jumped out of the cage and ran over to Trump and Dana and was like talking to them after he had just won. He just knocked this dude out. And then fucking Tyson, he's like giving fucking advice and telling some of these fighters like, all right, now throw this and boom, knocks this dude out. It's like, can you imagine looking over and seeing those guys sitting there? Like, what the hell?
That'd be one hell of an after party conversation.
Oh, I'd be like, Mike, you want to burn a dirty? You got some of those, Holyfield, gummies we could pop, those gummy ears.
It was probably Tyson that was smoking. It was probably Tyson that was smoking because during one of the fights, the dude that jumped over afterwards, he's a dude that likes to, you know, he likes to talk in the cage and he's like, he's fighting and all of a sudden he looks at his opponent. He goes, you smell that? You smell that? And he goes, I swear, oh, I smell really? Weed. And he's saying it while he's in the fucking octagon fighting. He's like, you smell that?
Who the fuck is going to tell Mike Tyson he can't smoke weed somewhere? You know what I mean? Right.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The security guard with his mag lights, like, I'm not fucking telling him.
No, well, and he's sitting next to fucking Trump and the president of the UFC. He's probably like, I'm good. I'll do whatever the fuck I want. I'm Mike Tyson.
And the king of Dickhead Mountain, Kid Rock, in his red fedora.
But when I saw Trump walking into Sabatru, I'm like... Only in America. What Only. A fucking badass.
He's still like a WWE character, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, is he even real walking in there with Bobby?
Oh, God. Is Bobby even real? I loved Bobby's videos, though, of shooting the Bud Light with the freaking...
shooting the Bud Light.
Kid's not drinking the Bud anymore.
He's not... Him and Anheuser-Busch are no longer friends.
How weird is it? That record's in our hands now. Like, there's this 4 month buildup.
I keep
and then I look at
my
phone and I'm like, fuck, it's here. And my vinyl arrives tomorrow. And it's like, well, what do we do for the next couple months now?
Well, we listen to it. Dissect so let's, it. Let's get off this freaking podcast.
I have to
listen to
it
Shadows
a lot.
Follow.
I need a lot of alone time, boys. So don't bother me the next 17 days.
Unplug the phone.
Off the grid so Shane can marinate.
He needs to
72
digest.
Virgins.
Shane needs to learn how seasons. To accept Shadows Follow into his heart.
No.
Just like the Lord and Savior.
That song needs to be delete that.
Remember how you felt about Screaming? I think
Screaming's
it's
up there
sleeper.
Now. Screaming's
exactly.
up there for me now.
Yeah.
Here's the songs that should have been final on the record. Are you ready? And then we're going to say goodbye. 72. Suicide. Burn.
And he said, that's it.
Lux. Darkness. Too Far. Mirrors. Inamorata. That's it.
No,
that's
Sleepwalk?
It. That's it. Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
I don't like that list.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like you, Jeff.
Oh. Well, see if I show up next week.
I got some serious listening to do.
Clearly.
Jeff and I have a surprise appearance on a... very well-known show in a couple weeks, and I'm going to be brutally honest on that show. I'm not sugarcoating shit for that. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, you better not. All this talk that you're backing up when we go on there next
week.
I'm
just telling
you. You better be saying the same thing.
I'm going to be brutally honest, and I know that's a huge show. And if he doesn't like what I have to say, that's I'm not changing unless something really changes in my mind here the next week.
I really Now I kind of wish that we would have done that episode 7 right now. So
give him a little bit of extra or whatever the fuck it is.
This is the song that has this is the song that has a lot of
So you're constipated?
You must burr.
You're constipated, yeah.
Too far gone? It's been fun, boys. Hour and three, 72 seasons is here. Season 12, episode 6. Wow.
We made it, boys.
2023 is already flown by. That's what is cool about these releases.
Wait, I got one more question. What are they playing on Kimmel? What's the new live song?
If Darkness Had a Son.
Is it?
Darkness.
If Darkness Had a Son.
I wasn't aware.
Thing about that, on the forums, everybody was talking about how people that were there said that they started it and then stopped it.
There was a technical difficulty.
Technical difficulty. So I would imagine they'll probably cut the two takes together because I guess they started it up kind of midway through.
Got you.
Oh, they must have turned on Gaga's mic and not James's again.
Yeah, apparently James was not happy with something and threw his pick down and was kind of
having a hissy fit?
No, I'm just
kidding. He didn't throw the snake bite, did he?
He threw his shit down because he's like, God damn it, Shadows Follow should not be on this fucking record.
It's like I hit my hand on this fucking pin.
That's
on
why
my
he was
guitar.
Upset.
What's
he up? Realized that track two was terrible.
I got Don't ball worry, Larry. These leather pants.
Don't worry, Larry. I've been witness to seeing a snake bite being run over by
Southwest Airlines tug.
Oh. Yeah, and it completely busted. And this is a real ESP snake bite. Busted it into multiple pieces. And Pizzle and myself, it works now. It was actually played at our last show, and the guitar works just fine. So even if you threw it down, we could still fix it.
That was impressive.
The power of Pizzle.
Not that one Riff Life truckster that he tripped and fell into the, like, you know, cut out on the stage. That fucker is done.
That was bad. That's done.
That's in the museum in pieces now.
Thanks again, gentlemen.
Yeah. April 14th, I'm off to listen, not watch, but listen to 72 Seasons. Wish me luck.
72 Seasons, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy.
Full speed or nothing.
Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Pizzle.
Goodbye, Larry.
Hey, see you, Shane.
Goodbye, Mr. Winslow, I Love Shadows Follow Jeffrey Jr.
Goodbye, Gentle Flies, and goodbye, Pizzle.
And goodbye. And bye.
You guys
hang up first.
Too far gone?
Question mark?
Don't hang up. We got to chat after this.
Pizzle.
Nope, I'm out.
Bye, Pizzle.
Pizzle.
See you, Pizzle.
Duty.
And see you,
Pizzle.
Tinkle. Bye.
72 Virgins and adios.
Poop.
Bye.
Welcome, won't you come inside? Meet the ghost where I reside. Despite how they're abusing me, lonely I will never be. Comfort in the hell I know, resentment like a cancer rose. Longing for the day I'm free, burn to get you out of me. Lying, supplying the need, shedding and spreading the seed, setting the trap with the prey, spinning the web. Misery, she needs me. Oh, but I need her more. Misery, she loves me. Oh, but I love her more. Misery, she kills me. Oh, but I end this war. Misery, she
That was the best one. That button was the best one.
The best button.
We'll see you next week with a special guest.